Insider podcast and YouTube blog covering the German startup scene with news, interviews, and live events.
Hello and welcome, everybody. This is Joe from StartupRate.io, your startup podcast and YouTube blog. Today, I'm bringing you another interview on our 24/7 internet radio station. Just ask Alexa for play Startup Radio, or on our syndication partner IBGR Network, the International Business Growth Radio. Big mental high five to those guys. And of course, you can also find us on our newsletter on Substack. I've said that, and this is actually in media cooperation with Munich Startups, the local startup blog in Munich, as you can already guess. And surprisingly, I do have an entrepreneur from Munich here with me. Hey, Florian, how you doing?
Hey, Joe. Thanks for having me. I'm doing great.
It's really good to have you here. And we're already diving in. As always, we'll link down here in the show notes not only your personal LinkedIn profile, but of course also the company website. And I went through a little bit your CV, and it appears you've studied quite a lot at Ludwig Maximilian University, one of the best ones in Germany, down there in Munich. But you also spent time, like, semesters abroad in American University, Tel Aviv University, UC Berkeley, and Universität St. Gallen. You made a master's degree. Can you tell us just a tiny bit about that before we go into what you really did as an entrepreneur?
Yes. Thanks for having me, Joe. So before starting Capmo, I was enjoying my student life. So I'm originally from Munich. Most people know it for beer and soccer, but has a pretty big startup tech scene by now. So pretty happy to have been growing up there. Went to the LMU, which is the big university there. And there I got first touch points with local entrepreneurs, and got the chance to move to startup places or cities that are more well known. So I was really lucky to get the chance to spend half a year at UC Cal in Berkeley, and also in Tel Aviv. And what really fascinated me about that is the mindset of the people, always pushing forward, versus at LMU or in my business bachelor's, it was more the basics and the big corporate world that I learned. So that really well combined everything. Having had the chance to get to know the US ecosystem, the Israeli ecosystem, but also having that German and Swiss touch from St. Gallen, which really well equipped me with all the basics beyond the storytelling and the technology side of things that is pushed a lot in the US and Israel.
Yes, and before we talked, you did some internships. We'll be not going to go into this, but you've seen Deutsche Börse, Roland Berger, BMW, and Microsoft from the inside. But what I found actually interesting, you started out with Freeletics. That is a sports app and tool that actually shows you just how to work out with your own body weight on your cell phone. And I tried it personally at one point in my past, and I can attest it's really, really tiresome just to work with your own body weight. What do you do there, and how did you like it?
Yeah, that ties well together with the first question, because it was a project we did there in cooperation with the Center for Digital Technology and Management, which is a Munich-based university program you do in parallel. And what they do is they force you to, or they enable you to work with a local startup. And we were lucky enough to spend half a year at Freeletics. Back then, it was 2014, so pretty early for them. And what we did is try to look into gamification concepts on how to motivate people to do sports with their own body weight, even if like you, they tried it out once and it seemed too hard, how can you use gamification and user experience to push you to do it twice and three times and form a habit out of it? And that was really the first time I saw a startup from inside, such a scaling startup. And that was what also motivated me a lot to go in that direction, because it's more dynamic, more entrepreneurial, and more future-oriented than what I've seen in consulting at Roland Berger or what you mentioned at Microsoft or Deutsche Börse.
And actually, before we move on, I do believe Freeletics is now available almost across the world in German and English.
Yeah, it's, I think, 20, 30 or whatever languages. So it's global, yeah.
We'll link it down here just to make sure you can still work out if you are in your part of the world in lockdown or not. And what I found very interesting, then for some reason you just went to Hong Kong as a venture analyst with Nova Founders Capital. How did you go from Munich to become a venture analyst in Hong Kong? I totally get why you moved from a startup position into a VC analyst position, but why to Hong Kong?
To be honest, I had a deal with my girlfriend. Because we were planned to be 1 year apart, me half a year in Berkeley, and then the half year after, she's studying in Hong Kong. So we decided to mix that. And she worked while I was in Berkeley. She worked in the US as well as an intern. And I decided after Berkeley and not going back home to Munich, but go with her to Hong Kong. And it was perfect match to get the chance to dive into operational VC work there. And that's what I did at Nova Founders.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And after your girlfriend been done with the studies, you basically moved back? And
That was planned.
And after your degree, it looks like you, right out of your master's degree, you started Capmo, the prop tech startup in Munich, which everybody who's watching this on YouTube can still see you are wearing very nicely on your shirt. So you're a prop tech. You guys are building buildings, right?
Correct. What we're doing, what everyone has to understand on the podcast or wherever he or she's watching, the construction industry is, no matter what country you're watching from, construction is most likely the biggest industry in your country. But if you look at how they work, it's also very likely that it's the least digital industry in your country, particularly in Europe. Construction is second least digital industry. Only the hunting and fishing sector is less digital over here. And
I can totally get why hunting and fishing is not digital, even though I see a big future for virtual reality there. But go ahead.
If the lockdown continues, there's a huge potential for VR fishing, I'm pretty sure. But my grandparents originally are from the construction industry, so I always had kind of an idea how it's going and that it's not going that well, and particularly not that digital. And when we started right out of university, we said, if we want to start something, we want to start building literally something that has an impact on society and does not just do a tiny little process better, but really help an entire industry to move from plans, paper, pens, and fax machines to working digitally, having fun again in their jobs. And to be honest, most rewarding, if you help those people just get a tiny little bit better in their work, what we get is our flats, our houses finished quicker, cheaper, and also more sustainably, because that was also a driver. Most people don't know, but construction accounts for roughly three times the CO2 emissions than the whole airline industry. And whenever you do a bit there on the efficiency level, you have an enormous impact, not just on the people, but also on the industry and the society.
And when somebody is looking at your website, as I'm doing right now, you see a lot of plans, a lot of pictures, a lot of talk about digitalization. And what are you guys actually offering? Because what I had in mind, when you guys, when I first went through your website, was basically that you just bring construction plans to tablets, so everybody is like literally on the same plan. Is that the case, or do you actually guys do really more stuff? And how did you come up with the idea? Was it just efficiency driving, or was it did you bump into like any problem in your life?
No, what we are doing at Cupmo is, if you're a construction manager or an architect and you work with Cupmo, you can be sure that your project is a success, because the biggest challenge in construction is not designing something perfectly, but actually executing it and getting it done. So what we are doing is we enable everybody on a construction site to be on the same page, have all the information they need. So that being plans, but also the collaboration aspect. And this goes further. So digitizing processes, like having the plans online, having all your information at hand, but also automating these processes. So imagine you're on a construction site, you're building a new hotel, 600 rooms that all look the same, that all have to be fitted, that all, I don't know, power plugs have to be checked. And you just lose the overview if you do not digitally keep track of everything. And that's what we are doing in the first instance. But it doesn't end there, because if you kept track of all the 700 broken power plugs, you need to fix them. So in the background, there's a whole workflow going on that supports you in managing the whole construction site. So basically what we're doing is we help construction professionals to finish projects on time and on budget by providing them with a simple tool that helps to coordinate and collaborate. So project management solution, or as we call it, construction management
solution. So you guys basically make sure if like there's an update on a construction plan that everybody has it as soon as this plan is released.
Yeah.
On the tablets, so they are sure this is not a flat building, but actually we have to build a tower on it, and not half of the crew knows and half of the crew doesn't know.
That's exactly it, and you won't believe it, Joe, but one of the main reasons why construction projects fail or are delayed is because an architect prints out a plan at home, puts it on the construction site, updates it all the time, but doesn't drive again to the construction site to update the paper plan there. So the people who actually built the building have the wrong information and just built the walls wrong. And when the architect arrives on site 2 weeks later, he realizes, what the heck? This is totally wrong. And half of the site has to be teared down again. And equipping everybody with the latest information just prevents this. And you're just building the project much more sustainable and much more cost efficient.
And you get... For everybody who doesn't know, some construction plans, as they are made in Germany, they usually include everything down to like the power, energy, and heating plans. And you're not only tracking this and helping it to keep up to date, but you're also digitizing the process of building, right? Like when there's something to fix, basically what you do in Germany, if you have like a new building, for example, you bought a townhouse, and you basically then walk through the whole building one final time, and then you say, okay, it's approved, or we have some stuff we need fixing. And that's also what you're doing.
Correct. And that's the same process globally. To put it very simply, first, we digitize all that. So you have the plans with you. You can take your notes digitally. Second, we automate, as you said, all the processes in the background. And third, if you have done, as we, a couple of thousands, tens of thousands of projects, you also learn from it. So what we can do in the future is to tell you, hey, on a typical hotel project with 500 rooms that takes normally 1.5 years, if you mess up this and that in that phase, that will most likely take you 1 month longer to finish the project. And being able to digitize, automate, and in the last step, also predict how the processes will be, that helps you to plan everything better, because there's really nothing worse than having a family. You tell them, yes, your house is ready in April. They show up with their suitcases in April and it's just done in June. That's really not good. And if you tell them in January that it's delayed 2 months, at least they can plan.
Also for like when you are building like your own house, in many places of the world, this is not the usual process, but basically what on average happens in Germany outside of the big cities where you buy an apartment, you basically buy a slot of land. And then you start talking to your architect and you build like an almost 100% tailored house. And you guys also offer the option for like a diary there for the house builder, in Deutsch, Hausherr, Bauherr, to actually really keep track of what he's doing and make memories, good or bad.
It's slightly different. It's you can, yeah, it's kind of a daily report, but that's yes, on the one hand, if an owner wants to see that, that's good, but more important, it has process implications. So you want to have documented the process, how it is going, so everybody has the knowledge who's involved with the project, what is going well, what has been finished, what not. Because just imagine 30 different subcontractors working together on a project. If you finish the walls late, the painter should know, because otherwise he or she arrives a week too early and has to go again because the wall is not built, so there's nothing to paint. And these daily reports that we offer for construction projects really help everybody to understand, hey, where is the project at the moment? So it helps you to map reality against the plan.
It's always good if you keep your plan in line with reality, I've heard. Okay, uh-huh. I get that one. And basically, you are digitizing the planning and hopefully helping with the execution of the building. So basically, what is like the type of plans you're taking in? Because I assume not every architect is standing there in front of his big plan, does a photograph with his or her cell phone, and then puts it into the app that works, I assume, with API from the planning software?
Either that, correct. So what our input is, we do not do the design or the designing of buildings, but that's imported from normally CAD systems, so AutoCAD or you name it, that all the engineers and all the architects know by heart, and some integrate it directly, some use PDF drag and drop. So that depends very much on the how technical advanced the user is.
I would assume, like personally, the more digital the plan is, like not only picture, not only PDF, but if you can zoom like and even look where the power lines actually are supposed
to go. Pipes run,
That's quite helpful if you have everything all digital. You guys are around for like now 2 years. We are talking in times of Corona and still partial lockdown here in Germany, even though there's a silver lining on the horizon. Can you tell us a little bit how you personally like CapMo experienced this lockdown here in Germany?
Yeah, I would answer that in two ways. So how do we, from a business side of things, see that, and how is it going? It's going pretty well, because as I explained before, construction is the second least digital industry in Europe, which is crazy. And what they are feeling is, oh, now there's Corona, and suddenly I have to think about how do I collaborate with each other? How do we manage to get the projects done even when we cannot meet every day or be on the construction site every day? So there is a huge push towards digitization in construction at the moment, because people understand or are forced to understand that the digital collaboration and working together and automating processes really makes their life easier. So Corona had a very positive impact there, so to say, because it gave the industry a huge push towards digitization, and obviously we're benefiting a ton of that. Second, how are we doing internally at Capmo? So that's a challenge, and not because we don't have all the tools. That's obviously the case. We're using Zoom and Slack and all the collaboration tools you have in mind. But over the past year, since the lockdown is going on, we added more people to the team than have been on the team before the lockdown. So we added more than 30 people.
You guys grew by more than 100%, right?
Correct, in terms of people. And that's a challenge, because some people have only met their colleagues remotely yet. But we adapted, I think, pretty well. Offer a lot of things from your routine one-on-one random Zoom meeting roulette that you join to having remote cooking events together, which really well ties the team together. And what's really motivating for everyone on the team is that everyone is super pumped by what we are doing. Because this COVID situation shows us internally and all our customers that what we're doing is really overdue and can help people even in the pandemic, or to better cope with it, because they still can run their projects.
I see. So you guys are, I assume, really looking forward to the opening up of Germany again. I was wondering, what are your next plans, and how are you guys financed by now?
Yeah, then good question. We started Capmo roughly 3 years ago and got our first financing round 2 years ago. By now, have raised two rounds, roughly 10 millions, from B2B SaaS focused investors, which I'm very happy with. And for us, the next step, we've more than tripled our base in the last year, and that's also the plan for this year. And next up for us, early next year, is looking into different markets. We're only active in Central Europe at the moment, and with that, also very open to investor conversations. If there's something this year, if somebody approaches us who very well fits with us, that might be an option. We're open to that, but other than that, that's also a topic for next year.
In terms of markets, what are you looking at? Like North America, Asia, Africa, South America? Would you also first your geography of expansion, and secondly, are you also looking for like local investors in those geographies?
Yes. So what? Again, twofold answer. So where are we active at the moment? We focus very much on the Central European market at the moment, and all our customers are from there. But what's happening? Some of our customers are big firms who do projects all over the world. So Capmo is going with them to all these different locations. But from a focus perspective, the companies we target will be headquartered in Europe. But that means also that they are taking Capmo to construction sites around the globe. So customers mostly located in Europe, construction projects are located around the globe.
Ah, I see. Okay, that answers this question. I do believe we covered now almost everything important. Do you think we got we forgot? Any important aspect?
I think one important aspect that I always mention, when you're starting a startup or when you're founding something, there are different kinds of how you start. So we on purpose focus on an industry that for many people in the tech community at first sight sounds or looks very unsexy. But I think that's a learning that I want to give to everyone. Don't judge the book by its cover. Construction is really an industry that is responsible for the biggest CO2 emissions of all. It's the industry that builds your flat, Joe. It's the industry that builds UC Berkeley or whatever universities people are listening from. And I think when, as an entrepreneur, or even if you're only interested in startups, you should look not only on the tech or the cool tech the startup is doing, but really on the industry that the venture is changing. And I'm super proud on that we have found an industry where we have a huge impact that's really worthwhile pursuing because it's so big, you help so many people, and it's not unsexy at all.
That always reminds me of a discussion round I was hosting, like a talk show, and there were several robo advisors when robo advising was just starting out, and one of the guys said investing is the opposite of sexy. Yeah, I really know where you're going, but we try to keep it still as entertaining as possible. Florian, thank you. It was a great pleasure having you as a guest here. Looking forward to get an update from you like next year.
Perfect. And obviously anybody interested in joining Capmo or helping us further grow, we have roughly 20 open positions. So check out capmo.com or .de or ping me on LinkedIn.
And of course, the down here in the show notes, wherever you are watching this or listening to this, there are show notes, and you can of course find the link to the company website there. Thank you very much.
Perfect. Joe, thanks a lot for having me. Take care.
My pleasure. Bye-bye.
If you are a professional looking at the European startup scene, Germany is a place you cannot miss. Fortunately for you, there is startuprad.eu, the authority on German startups. This English-only podcast brings you fresh interviews each week. Most likely, you have never heard or read anything on these startups before in English, but you will in the future. Be ahead of the curve and subscribe to startuprad.eu podcast, or check for the startuprad.eu internet radio station. Check your Alexa for the startuprad.eu skill as well.